our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Judgment.
Putting down one and lifting up another.
We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, for your name is near.
We recount your wondrous deeds.
At the set time that I appoint,
I will judge humanity.
For not from the east or from the west,
and not from the wilderness comes lifting up.
But I will declare it forever.
I will sing praises to the God of Jacob.
Thank you. us pray. O Lord of grace and mercy, teach us by your Holy Spirit to follow the example of your Son in true humility, that we may withstand the temptations of the devil and with pure hearts and minds avoid ungodly pride. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Martyr's Tide is from the book of the Proverbs, the 25th chapter. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel. Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you and your ill repute have no end. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother.
Like a weaned child with its soul within me.
O Lord, my heart is not lifted up.
My eyes are not raised too high.
I do not occupy myself with things
too great and too marvelous for me.
I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother.
Like a weaned child with my soul within me.
O Israel, hope in the Lord.
From this time forth and forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother.
Like a weaned child with my soul within me.
The reading from the letters is from the letter to the Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, "I will never leave you, nor forsake you." So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin, are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate, in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him, and he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move higher up.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends, or your brothers, or your relatives, or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." This is the gospel of the Lord. What do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for our sin and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according
peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from Hebrews chapter 13, which begins with this verse, "Let brotherly love continue." Thus far the text. Right before saying, "Let brotherly love continue," Hebrews chapter 12 ends by saying, "Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." That's what the author of Hebrews encourages us to do, so let's do that. Let's offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. But how? How do we offer God acceptable worship? What exactly does that look like? And what does it mean to do it with reverence and awe? Now, the surprising thing is that when we turn from Hebrews chapter 12 to Hebrews chapter 13, it doesn't seem like it's talking about acceptable worship. This last chapter of Hebrews that we heard read today starts by saying, "Let brotherly love continue." And then it follows with what seems like a grab bag of random things. There's an exhortation to hospitality, care for imprisoned members, respect for marriage, detachment from money, remembrance of previous spiritual leaders, rejection of false doctrine, sharing with the needy, and obedience to current leaders. That seems like a strange list. What do those things have to do with offering acceptable worship to God? With reverence and awe for our God? With our God being a consuming fire? I think that sometimes we, maybe especially we Lutherans, struggle to make sense of what we read at the end of some of the letters, like this exhortation at the end of Hebrews, to figure out where it fits with the rest of what we believe, especially how it fits with grace alone and faith alone. Two phrases that we love, as we should. We're right to love those phrases. Grace alone confesses the truth that our salvation depends not on us, but on what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And faith alone confesses that this salvation is not received by anything we do, but simply by trusting the promise made to us in Christ. And yet here the author of Hebrews is clearly encouraging certain behavior. He's prescribing a particular form of life for Christians. He's telling the Christian church, including this congregation, what she should be like in practical, everyday terms. You might say that the author of Hebrews here is talking about the life of good works that flows from faith. What we are to do and what we are not to do. Do we think that the things mentioned in Hebrews 13 are things that are disconnected from our faith and our worship? Do we, when we hear this list about caring for one another and honoring marriage and good stewardship and respect for spiritual authorities, does it strike us as something very different from what goes on Sunday morning? Do we see acceptable worship as something that only happens on Sundays, as if it has nothing to do with the rest of our life, with our bed or our bank account or anything else? But the author of Hebrews certainly doesn't think that way. For him, nothing in life is disconnected from who we are as Christians. And I say from who we are as Christians, not just who you are or who I am, because he has no concept of a Christian being by oneself, being alone. To be a Christian is to be part of a community. And that's true even when we may find circumstances in life that prevent us from being gathered together. Nevertheless, to be a Christian is to be part of a community. In front of us is Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Around us is the great cloud of witnesses who have already run the race, the saints who have gone before and right beside us, sitting in these pews, are the living brothers and sisters who stir us up and whom we stir up to love and good works. We need each other, and we need the gathering of Christians together so that we can offer that acceptable worship to God, not only on Sunday mornings, but daily throughout our lives. Because our whole life and our life together is shaped by our involvement in the things of God. Now, the very first thing that the author of Hebrews says is this: let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. Continue implies that brotherly love is already happening. So the author of Hebrews doesn't speak to the Christians and say, you guys are terrible at loving one another. He says, you're already loving one another, but let it continue. Perhaps it's in danger of stopping. These words should call to mind the words of Jesus in the upper room when he said, love one another. Such a simple thing, isn't it? And yet such a complicated and challenging thing as well. Love one another. It's what the apostles Paul and Peter and John all repeat in their letters. Do you need this reminder to love one another? What do you see when you look around at fellow believers? What do we see when we look at ourselves and our attitudes and our actions towards them? Is it love for him as a brother or for her as a sister? Do we desire to help him succeed? Or do we harbor self-centered thoughts that makes it seem like we're in competition with him? Are we concerned for her needs? Or are we so calloused that we are only thinking about our own good? For brotherly love to continue, as it must in a Christian congregation, we have to know the source of love. If you're looking for your brotherly love for one another to continue, do not look inside yourself for that love. You need to see where that love comes from. It doesn't start with us. As St. John said, we love because he first loved us. It begins with him. Love comes from the cross. It starts with our elder brother, Jesus, the Son of the Father from all eternity. You could say that from his cross, he provides the fuel for the engine of our love. His everlasting love orders our loves and moves us to love one another. And here we see why our gathering together on Sundays is so important. Not only for loving one another, but for our daily life of love. Because unless we have his love poured out on us, we will have no love to show one another. Here we also see that faith and love are different things, but things that belong together. By faith alone we are saved, not by our love, but by his. And yet faith alone saves in order that we might be brought to love for one another. So what we believe will affect how we live, and how we live will affect what we believe. We see this connection between faith and love again in the prayer after Holy Communion. We pray and thank God that this holy food would make us strong in faith toward him and in love toward one another. Love one another. Let brotherly love continue. And then the author of Hebrews goes on to explain some particular ways in which this brotherly love can continue. And it's worth asking ourselves, as we hear these words, asking ourselves how we as a Christian community are doing with these things. He says, let hospitality continue. Hospitality. Welcoming into our midst other beloved sinners for whom Christ died. And not only welcoming into our midst, but reaching outside our community here to include strangers and others. For thereby, the author of Hebrews said, some have entertained angels unaware, like Abraham and Sarah. The author of Hebrews mentions care for those who are imprisoned, especially imprisoned Christians. And if that sounds to you like something far-fetched, it's only because it's far-fetched for us here right now, but it's not for so many around the world today. Let us not forget those who are imprisoned for their faith, nor forget those who have been mistreated or who have suffered injuries or disabilities, because you also are in the body. And not only that, but the author of Hebrews goes to the marriage bed as well. He includes sexual relations and how we offer God acceptable worship. Marriage is to be honored, and the marriage bed is to be kept undefiled, both by what we say and by what we do. So let us watch ourselves, not only with our own marriages, but also with the marriages of others, how we speak about marriage, how we act toward our spouse, both in their presence and outside of their presence, and also how we encourage those who are married. Marriage points us to Jesus, the bridegroom of the church, the one who gave himself for his bride on the cross that we might be purified and sanctified and made holy. And so he does. He is the one who purifies our hearts and our bodies, so that we are his undefiled bride, the holy church. He is the one who makes our marriages holy. And then another practical thing that the author of Hebrews mentions is the love of money. The love of money, we sometimes say, is the root of all evil. However, the scriptures say the love of money is a root of all evil. It is a lure for all, including for Christians. And so the author of Hebrews encourages us to be content with what we have. And what do we have? Well, he doesn't speak about the numbers in our bank account. He doesn't look at our credit score. He says this: what do we have is this, his promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We can speak the words of the Psalms with confidence. Whether we have much or little, we can say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? With all these instructions, the author of Hebrews then begins talking about some of the false teachings that are going around, but he drives toward this, perhaps the most significant reiteration of what he's been teaching throughout the book of Hebrews. He says, Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. He points us to Christ, who alone makes us holy. And he compares the sacrifice made by Christ with the sacrifices made in the Old Testament. You might remember in the Old Testament, through the pages of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and the history of Israel, the animals whose blood was shed to take away the sins of the people by pointing ahead to Christ. Their blood was poured out at the altar, but their bodies or their skins were taken outside the camp to be burned. And the author of Hebrews draws a parallel to the fact that Christ himself, when he was hung on the cross for the salvation of the world, that we might be sanctified and made holy, it happened outside the gates, like those Old Testament sacrifices, in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. It is his blood that saves us. It is the blood of Christ that makes us holy. It is the blood of Christ to which we look and in which we hope. And it is the blood of Christ that makes our worship acceptable with reverence and awe, not only on Sundays, but every day of the week. The author of Hebrews says, since he has suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. Let us go with Christ to suffering. Let us go to Christ and live as Christians in our daily life, renouncing the things that would defile us, renouncing the things that would lure us away, and following in the path that Christ himself has trod. For here, we're told, we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. The cities of this world will pass away. It may seem surprising to say, because there are things that we see that look like they will be around forever, and there are certainly many things that have outlasted us. But even the great cities of the past have not lasted, only the city that lies ahead, to which we are pressing and straining, the New Jerusalem, only that city will last forever. So seek the city that is to come. And as we do, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And do not neglect to do good, but share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, not only that he may save us from our sins, but also to make us holy as he does by his blood. And so the invitation stands today for us to come to where Christ is, that his holy blood may again make us holy and sanctify and purify us to be his people, a holy congregation of our God. Jesus sanctifies us by his blood today, not only by the proclamation of his blood shed for us, but by the blood that he gives to us from his holy altar, the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the invitation that he makes to you today to come to his altar, to bow in humility because of your sins, but then he says to you, friend, come higher up. Come to the place where he is and to the place where he gives you himself, so that your brotherly love may continue and that you may offer acceptable worship to God with reverence and awe. Our Lord Jesus Christ today gives this blood for you, and he does it that you may be his not only today but also tomorrow and forever. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our acceptable worship of God begins with this, receiving the gifts that Christ has. And then it flows out in our lives, through the doors of the church, into the world, as we love one another with the love he has first shown us, as we show hospitality to strangers, as we care for those who are imprisoned or in need, as we honor the authorities, especially spiritual authorities, as we live with money as a gift from God, but not as our God, and as we honor the marriage bed. So let his love today have its way with you, and let his blood sanctify and make you holy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
You may be seated. I invite forward the Henriksen family, especially Lars and Elsa. Beloved in the Lord, in holy baptism, Lars and Elsa were born again as God's children and received into his church. As a further gift of his love for us, our Lord Jesus Christ has given his church the sacrament of the altar and invites his children to receive this sacrament in faith for the forgiveness of their sins. The Apostle Paul reminds us, let a person examine himself,
And so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lars and Elsa have been instructed and have been examined by the pastor regarding their sin and their understanding of the sacrament of the altar. Lars and Elsa, you are about to be admitted to the Lord's table. Holy Scripture describes the life of the church and of every baptized Christian with these words: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. You are invited by our Lord to come regularly to hear his word and receive his sacrament. You will continue to be instructed and nurtured in the Christian faith and life. You are invited to confess your sins and receive the comfort of holy absolution. All this will help you as you live as the child of God you have been made through holy baptism. In testimony of this faith and confession, I now ask you, do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is your Lord?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that you are a sinner?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you and shed his blood for you on the cross for the forgiveness of all your sins?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that in the Lord's Supper he gives you his true body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins and to strengthen your faith in him and your love toward others?
Yes, I believe.
Do you intend to continue to hear and receive the instruction of your Lord, confess your sins, and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully throughout your life?
Yes, with your heart.
I therefore invite you to the Lord's Supper to receive Christ's precious body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jeremy, Beth, and brothers and sisters at Our Savior, the whole church shares with you the responsibility and concern for the ongoing instruction and spiritual care of Lars and Elsa. I now ask you, will you intercede for them in prayer as much as you are able? Give them your counsel and aid that in communion with the church they may grow up to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of Jesus Christ. Then answer, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
The congregation is invited to stand. God's helpful to the meal. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, whose Son, Jesus Christ, loved the young and called them to himself, we ask you to bless Lars and Elsa. Strengthen them in the faith through the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, so that they may grow spiritually and bring forth the fruits of faith in a life of love toward others to the praise and honor of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lars and Elsa, we rejoice with thankful hearts in your confession of faith. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his Holy Supper, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Peace be with you. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with the prayers. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For faith to treasure our place of honor at the table of the Lord, which he won for us through his humble sacrifice, and for boldness to spurn the foolish honors of this world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Christ to accomplish his holy and saving work through his pastors, as he promises to do, and for the church to honor their Lord by honoring those he has sent to them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all husbands and wives, and all who have pledged themselves to be united in marriage according to your word, that their lives together in your name
may be sanctified by your Holy Spirit in all wisdom, purity, self-sacrifice, and love. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving for the births of Monica Joy to Pastor and Kristen, and Thomas Connor to Brooke and her husband, that these little ones would soon receive the washing of rebirth and renewal in holy baptism and remain in the Lord's kingdom always, and for the Lord to extend his special care to Thomas, that others would be blessed through his life and his life preserved. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all expectant mothers, including Melinda, Allie, Shayla, Alyssa, and Joelle, that they would be sustained physically and spiritually through their pregnancies. For abortion-vulnerable women, that they would receive good care and so spare the lives of their children. And for all who bear the cross of infertility or infant loss, that they would be comforted. Let us pray to the Lord. For the elected officials of our land, that they would desire to govern and serve with wisdom and courage, knowing what is right and following it, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the schools of our communities, for the public schools, the students and teachers, that all that is good and true and honorable may be taught and learned in those places, and for all Christian schools, including the Imago School, that they may continue the work and mission that you have given them, especially for the protection of all children and all teachers, and that your word and your truth would flourish in our land. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, the suffering, those troubled in mind, those suffering depression, and those with chronic illness and pain, especially for Carol and Craig, Jim, Eldon, John, Lucy, Sherry, Ed, Alicia, Nancy, Ted, Gwen, Anthony, Michelle, Stan, Luann, Carol, Sharon, Alyssa, Dan and Patty, and Melinda, and for Karen, Rick, and Andrea, who are homebound, let us pray to the Lord. For all those who share the wedding feast of Christ, your Son, that as they receive his body and blood from your altar, they would eat and drink in true repentance and firm faith, and to their abundant blessing, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the full riches of your grace, for all the situations and circumstances in which we live, that we would practice brotherly love, show hospitality to strangers, and remember all those in need, confident that you will never leave us or forsake us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Remembering that here we have no abiding city, but that heaven is our home, give us your aid, that we may be, by true faith and godly life, prepare for the coming of our Savior, multiplying your mercy by loving our neighbor in need, and loving you with all our body, soul, strength, and will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right and meet.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy.
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Psalm 118. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, let his steadfast love endure forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in princes. All nations surround me, my name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Thank you. Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me."
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.